Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Volkelman. All over the world right now, people are feeling isolated, separate, fearful, worried about the future. And I know, because I've heard from many of you, the Not Old Better Show listeners and viewers, that the world we're leaving for our children and grandchildren is scary.
Hi, Paul. This is Sarah Beth, and we are super excited to share out 120 Project, which is a social justice arts activism platform, and we believe dance, comics, and dialogue can be a premise for community building.
Hi, Paul. This is Oliver, and the 120 Project is an attempt at domestic cultural diplomacy, and what that is bringing people together through activities, in this case dance and making comics, and uniting them in a shared experience in terms of communication building. That's foundational in terms of building relationships and being able to say, well, we might not agree on everything, but hey, we made those comics, we danced together, and now we can go from there.
Hi, Paul, this is Emily. One aspect of the 120 Project is conducting research on arts activism and how leaders in the community use the principles of cultural diplomacy in their own work. So I've been collecting interviews along for the documentary and also for a StoryCorps compilation.
Scary? No way. They're friendly, they're talented, and they have a lot to say about what's going on in the world. And our guests today, Sarah Beth Oppenheim, Oliver Mertz, and Emily Ames. To help make this world today more tolerant and offer greater understanding about our futures, again, for our children and grandchildren, Sarah, Oliver, and Emily are speaking out artistically, financially, and collaboratively. Together, they are the founders of Project 120, a name that comes from something very powerful and meaningful, yet easy to remember. Project 120. Difficult, divisive, challenging projects is what Project 120 is all about. And check out what Sarah, Oliver, and Emily do to overcome. They create dance, comic books, and research. You've got to listen to this show. Trust me, this is not political, it's not partisan. For the 55 plus age community to remain a part of this conversation, this step is crucial. Listen to the show and the novel solutions-based action by these three to build bridges and tear down walls. Join me today in welcoming Sarah Beth Oppenheim, Oliver Mertz, and Emily Ames to the Not Old Better Show. Well, first of all, guys, congratulations on launching the 120 Project. And I have to apologize right up front for asking such a kind of institutional or maybe even corporate question of this startup that you've got going. But tell my audience your mission and vision, if you would.
Hi, Paul. This is Sarah Beth, and thank you so much for having us today. We woke up on November 9th, and we realized that the country was more divided than we had not only understood, but viscerally experienced. And the first thing that we said to each other is, we need to get out of our bubble and meet people. These are our fellow Americans, and we want a chance to connect with them on the big issues, the politics, but also on person-to-person connection, which is what the piece that Oliver's bringing to this, domestic cultural diplomacy, the idea that once you've shared something with someone, you're less likely to think of them as the other. So that's where this began. We want to connect with people across the country. And the more we got into what this project could be and what we could bring to the table, Emily and I can bring dance and Oliver can bring his experience in comics and cultural diplomacy. But the farther we got in, we realized it's about sharing out the stories of the work good Americans are already doing across the country. So for instance, when there's an arts activism dance company, I want in New Orleans, for instance, I want someone somewhere else in the United States to see that model and learn the ways to incorporate it into their own practice. Or we recently worked with Imagination Brewing Company, and they are a microbrewery and a center for cultural transformation or community transformation. And I want people everywhere in the country to know what that model is like, how you can bring social action and civic action together. That's where this began. Sorry.
No. And I hate to talk over you, Sarah Beth, but I appreciate that answer. I know that this is very well thought out, that you've given kind of a worldview of this. Of course, we're with Sarah Beth Oppenheim, Oliver Mertz. Oliver and Sarah are married, as Sarah Beth just pointed out, and Emily Ames. They are all on the road right now conducting these workshops that Sarah's referring to and meeting community members across the country. And I want to get to that a little bit too in just a second. But the name of the project is a good one. The 120 Project. Maybe Emily, Oliver, jump in and tell us a little bit about the name of the project.
Sure. So the 120 Project came from January 20th, 2009 and January 20th, 2017, which are both the inauguration dates for President Barack Obama and President Donald Trump. And what we felt was, after hearing it, that each president had declared January 20th a national holiday for different reasons. For President Barack Obama, it was a day of national reconciliation.
Unity.
I'm sorry, a day of unity. And for President Trump, it was a day of reconciliation. And what we liked about that was that sort of polar opposite presidents we're celebrating the same thing and bring groups together to celebrate the same thing. But even if it's for from different approaches, it's for similar reasons. And we like the idea of bringing people together who might have different mindsets, but who agree on various issues. So we thought that was an appropriate title. Also because this was inspired by a political event, the election, which sort of opened our eyes and caused us to get out of our bubble. So we thought it was an appropriate title.
Emily Ames, this question is to you. You know, Oliver just kind of mentioned this, alluded to it, that there's politics behind some of your work. It's not necessarily a political message, but some in the world would say, you know, the world's a mess right now. And then others might point out it could be worse. Tell us why you're doing what you're doing right now. Will it matter to mobilize artists? Do artists even typically have hope in their work?
That's actually really interesting that you asked that question, Paul, because that's one question we've been asking everyone in our interviews is, does your work matter? Mm. And hearing everyone talk about how even if in the scope nationally, their work doesn't matter, all of them have said that they think that their work matters in the local level, in their community, that they feel like, you know, we talked to Michael Nelson, who's the community field manager for Ford Montana that helps register voters. And he was saying that, you know, as one voter, your vote doesn't matter, but as a unit of voters, we are so powerful. And I think that idea has permeated our entire message, has permeated all of our work here. And I think it's the same type of thing where I think, you know, nationally, the work that we're doing isn't making an impact nationally. But if we can share out just some of the amazing people that are working in the community across the country, and even if just one person sees the documentary and thinks, oh, I want to incorporate some of these practices into my life, then I think we've succeeded.
So some of the issues...
And I would add...
Yeah, go, please, jump in, Oliver. Thank you.
I was just going to add to that... what we found is those community actions are building blocks that individually may seem small, but then they do add up to national change and national action. And I would also say that what we're aiming to do is connect people and unify people. And it's not about changing for this way or that way. We're really approaching this in a nonpartisan way. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing is... the community building is a nonpartisan issue. When you get people together locally, it doesn't matter if you're on this side of the political spectrum or that side. What really matters is that you care about where you live and the people around you. And it's interesting to see that those actions build unity, and it's something that can be over time, built up into something that will hopefully be national unity and beyond.
Well, thanks very much, Oliver. Thanks, Emily. You know, as I was watching the video, and then as I was looking through some of your materials, which, by the way, are wonderful, and I think those are the kind of things that I would really love to share with my audience. But I counted five areas of kind of project development. Maybe I'll refer to that as kind of the way in which you're kind of pursuing some of these things. You know, the social justice, you know what, rather than go into those myself, why don't you guys talk about those five areas that you guys are out on the road today, and tell our audience where you are right now, right this minute.
This is Sarah. We are talking to you from Nephi, Utah. We're on a one-night stop between Missoula, Montana, and we're headed down to Arizona today.
And the trip started, sorry for interrupting, the trip started in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes. We left, it feels like a year ago, we left Tacoma Park, Maryland, Sunday, June 18th, Father's Day.
Wow.
In 3 days, we made it to Missoula, Montana, and that's where we started. And that is the first part of our project, which is a social justice arts activism road trip. Mm. And our goal is to hit five cities, five communities inside of 1 week so that we can meet with community stakeholders and shadow organizations in five cities and really spend time on the ground so that we can do some community building. So we started in Missoula, Montana. We're headed to Tucson, Arizona, over to Houston, Texas, just a day and a half in New Orleans with an arts activism dance company, and then we'll finish the month up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Fascinating. What exactly is arts activism?
I think it is, and sorry, Oliver, caught my mistake there. We're doing that in 1 month, not 1 week. Arts activism, I think it's taking a seed of an artistic idea, whatever medium it's from. For us, it's dance and comics, but taking that seed and putting it on a platform for social use. And what I mean is for an audience member, a reader, a viewer to engage so that the art and the art maker, the art doers and the audience have a back and forth, a dialogue about what this can mean for community beyond just the entertainment value and even beyond the infotainment value, but into a dialogue, a back and forth value so that we can put things on the table, highlight things we think are important to share out that are, as Oliver said, bipartisan issues, but also to have a back and forth.
So will performance art and visual art actually create this, you know, this kind of this dialogue, and how are you capturing it? And then I guess one of the interesting things among the things that you're doing is this research piece, which I think is fascinating. I think oftentimes research is left out of the equation. So how are you kind of, you know, assuring that the dialogue will take place and then capturing that dialogue in a way that you can report on it and then turning it into something that's actionable around research that you're uncovering?
Hi, so this is Emily. So one thing that we've been doing to help capture sort of what the community members have to say about their practices is we've been doing interviews on camera and a few of them audio, just audio recordings. Mm-hmm. And so part of those recordings are going into a documentary, and then I'm creating a StoryCorps compilation that will feature some of the like best practices of the communities that we've visited. The research aspect of it is something that has, you mentioned that there's not a lot of research that goes into arts activism, and I'm discovering there's actually a reason for that. That is because for me, I'm affiliated with the University of Maryland. I got some of the money to come here on a grant to do a research project on this.
Congratulations.
And so I had to go through something called the Institutional Review Board because I'm interviewing people. So that counts as having like human subjects, even though I'm not doing any sort of tests on them. Like it's usually used that for like medical experiments, but I have to go through it too since I'm interviewing people. And they have very, very strict guidelines on procedures, on
how you can go about collecting this research. And, you know, that's great for medical research and scientific research, but unfortunately it doesn't work very well for qualitative research and this kind of research in particular. It's very difficult to creatively problem solve in the field. And so I found it very restrictive. So part of my research that I'm doing is collecting these interviews and sort of distilling what people across the country are doing. But another aspect of this research is also finding out how the IRB, the Institutional Review Board, isn't set up for this kind of research. And that's been a huge, I think, hindrance for a lot of people who do know that this arts activism works, that do know that this is valuable, but there's just not a lot of research to show it. And so for people who haven't experienced, who haven't seen this like work firsthand, I think it's difficult to understand it. And so I'm hoping that by figuring out like where the IRB sort of fails this type of research, and also having that as part of my project, hopefully that can sort of shift the thinking of how, at least help shift the thinking of how arts activism research is conducted. And I'm not expecting this to have a, you know, reform the IRB by this time next summer, but I'm hoping that, you know, people are able to like use my project as an example of like how it is limiting, and hopefully it will show people why there isn't that much research about arts activism, is because it's so difficult to wade through the red tape that's meant for medical studies.
This is Sarah. I want to intervene here and say we are three people. We're not a nonprofit. We're no. Three people that have looked at America affected by issues. In particular, it's come more to light for us since November 9th, but Emily and I go to University of Maryland, where there were students that were caught on the other side of the world at that first immigration ban. We are seeing in the news every day incidents of black men dying. We are understanding we live very close to Baltimore and what's going on with incarceration rates. And that's in our neck of the woods, but we needed to get out around the country and find out literally what's happening in, for instance, the neck of the Montana woods, where there are issues with clean water that will affect the entire country, or there are bipartisan community organization issues about public land. We needed to find all of those things and share all of those with America. And we are trying to offer things that will be open to everyone, but we know that one-on-one personal interaction is the seed that will slowly build a foundation. And even if it's not a goal to build a foundation for all of America, it's stirring the pot. We're literally out there trying to stir the pot to put a little bit of Maryland into a little bit of Montana into a little bit of Arizona in a way that passes it forward, in a way that throws it up and north and east and south and west across the country, so that we can dialogue about this instead of just stay in our own bubble and hold on really tight to our values. And that idea that we're three people and not a nonprofit, we woke up and we said, we have to do something. We're fronting this money to get around the country because we think meeting people is important, because we want to make a documentary that shares these stories out for those that don't have the privilege of putting it on a credit card and traveling. We want to make a social justice comic book anthology that's literally made across America, made by folks across America. We want to share this out via the arts activism research component. And the fifth component, I think we haven't mentioned, is that we'll make a dance about it, my company, Hartstuk Bernie, when we get back to D.C. So there's also something that we're going to bring back to our home turf to share those best practices.
Yes, very true. And Gretchen and I are going to be contributing as well. I would encourage all my audience to do that. Two questions, because I know you guys are really busy. How's the Kickstarter project going, number one? And where do people go if they want to get involved, track your whereabouts, and contribute to you guys?
Well, so there's a number of different ways. For our Kickstarter, which has got off to a strong start, but is in need of a Kickstarter, if it were. Oh, that's terrible.
I think that's kind of typical of Kickstarter, isn't it? I mean, isn't there almost that kind of mid-period lull? And so we're going to do a little bit to get that out of its slumber, Oliver.
Yeah, over the past 7 years or so, so in terms of my experience making comic books, I started actually publishing comic books through Kickstarter, and I've experienced the lull many times. But what's great is I find, you know, you get out there and then communities online can really make something happen. And I've experienced it before. I'm hoping it'll happen again for this project. Yep.
We need $11,000 more to get our anthology printed, to cover the cost of the camera equipment for the documentary, to cover the cost of transportation, to cover the cost of materials, because we're providing free, wherever we go, free dance and comic making workshops to discuss these issues. We're also, we're paying facilitator fees because we are not the expert dialogue facilitators in each community. So we're working with members of the community to do that. And we wanted to be able to pay them for those services. So those are our costs.
So I would add 120project.com is the way, the fastest way to get to our Kickstarter. But then tracking along on our seeing, you know, moments of the trip, you can definitely follow along through updates on our Kickstarter. But you can also follow along on Facebook. You can find 120 Project on Facebook, and we've been, you know, posting short clips, some of the interviews that we've conducted. I've tried to turn those around quickly to so that people can sort of live vicariously and follow along as we're doing this, as we're crossing the country. They can see what we're up to, and rather than what we're up to, actually, more importantly, what these different communities are up to.
That's good to know. And we will put links up to everything too. So it is, it's just really great to be talking to you. I really will encourage again, my audience, to go find the 120 Project. It's easy. 120project.com. Contribute to the Kickstarter campaign. $11,000 isn't that much for what these three powerful individuals, yet individuals, are doing to support discussion around some of these really important issues right now. So let's support that, as well as let's support the arts. So, guys, thank you so much. Sarah Beth.
Thank you.
Yep. Emily Ames, Oliver, thank you very much for joining us today. And Sarah Beth, as always, I'll give you the last word.
My last word is this. The arts are about surprise. The arts are about communication. The arts are about revealing layers underneath. And isn't that what we want to do in the world?
Wonderful. That is a nice last word. Well, guys, really, what you're doing is very impressive, very important. And it's just a thrill to talk to you and share this. So I'll get on my horse and we'll get this thing shared.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Yeah, really, from the bottom of our hearts.
Seriously, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Emily, nice to talk to you. Sarah Beth, always. Oliver, good to talk to you too. Good luck, guys. Hang in.
Thank you.
Yep. Have fun.
All right. Bye.
I'll be following up. Yep. I'll be following up.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much to our guests, Sarah Beth Oppenheim, Oliver Mertz, and Emily Ames, for all they're doing. And as usual, we'll post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I know you know how to contact me, so I'm not even going to add it here. I will, however, ask for your generous support of my guest's project, the 120 Project, at 120project.com. And please contribute at Kickstarter, again, 120 Project. 120 Project. Check it out. You'll love the video and the comic book art. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we discuss the subject of eating and aging with noted entrepreneur Kimball Musk, brother of fellow entrepreneur Elon Musk. This is a show you'll not want to miss. Remember, contact information, for feedback and ideas, info@notoldbetter.com, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and notoldbetter.com. Talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Remember, be patient with yourself and with each other. Thanks to all.